Hey, Pam, can you hand me my water? Would you mind? It's right there. So I'm going to ask again, how's everybody doing this morning? Did y'all have a good week? Anybody get to share Jesus this week with anybody? Talk to somebody about Jesus? I hope you did. Good deal. You did good deal. Brother Mikey's not here this morning. He called me yesterday. There was two girls, I guess they were girlfriends, and they believed in Norse deities. What's that? What do they call that? Earth people or there's an anyway. He really tied into quite a witness. I can't remember what they, there's a name for that. They worship the earth and everything. Kind of like Wiccan, I think that's what it is. But they worshiped Odin and they worshiped Thor and all these. Anybody ever run anybody like that? I have. I've run into them. I'm like, I always say, like, why would you want to worship Odin when you could worship Jesus? Odin, Jesus. Jesus, Odin. Come on. I'm like, you know, it's hard for me to take it serious. How about you? That'd be hard. It's hard. I'm like, come on. You know? And you know, some people, they're just running from the Lord. Don't you know that? We're always the answer. Now, if you share Jesus with someone, just raise your hand. I want to see. We're okay. Pray. Look at that. It's beautiful. Keep it up, guys. Just keep it up. God will give you opportunities all the time to share Jesus. Just keep sharing Jesus with people. He is the answer. I am convinced more every day that Jesus is the answer. The darker the world gets, the more confused the world gets, the more things are frustrating out there, the more that I see Jesus is the answer. I am a man convinced. How about you? Girls, don't say amen. You're a woman convinced. No, I'm just teasing, Sandy. So if you're convinced that Jesus is the answer, say amen. Amen. He is the answer. He is the answer. And Father, I pray this morning, I have a simple message, Lord. I just pray that you help me bring it across, Lord, because it's basic, it's simple, but I know it'll be helpful if we get it. And my whole desire is to help people, Lord. That's it. That's it. Everything I say this morning, Lord, I want it to be helpful. I want it to be the truth. I want to say it the right way, Lord, and I want it to be helpful so people can grow closer to Jesus. They can get more filled with the Holy Spirit and get closer to Jesus. Lord, would you help me do that? Would you give me grace to say at least some of the stuff that you've put in my heart this morning, Lord? I need your help, Lord. Would you help me? I thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, if you have your Bibles, turn to Romans chapter 1. We're going to do a little review, and then we're going to launch off from there. A little bit of review. And I'm going to talk about righteousness by faith in review a little bit, and I want to go from there. But I want to say something, because every time I preach about righteousness by faith, you know, how many know you can't preach the whole Bible like in 1 week? I can't start in Genesis and go all the way through Revelation in 1 week. I can only preach a segment. So there are always things you will emphasize more, things you wish you would have said, and you can't. But at the end of the day, in chapter 1 and in chapter 16 of Romans, Paul exhorts obedience. Right? Look, when we're talking about righteousness by faith, we're not talking about claiming righteousness by faith and then living like the devil, right? In other words, you're not going to say, I'm righteous by faith and then go worship Odin, right? Jesus, I'm righteous by faith, and then you become, no. The end of the commandment, Paul says, is love out of a pure heart and a clean conscience. So God does want us to live holy lives. He wants us to have a clean conscience, and he wants us to operate out of love because love fulfills the law. So when we preach these things, I don't want you to take it wrong. There's nothing wrong. In fact, there's everything right with the law of God. The law of God is holy, it's just, and it's good, and we should obey the law of God, shouldn't we? And in fact, it's even a standard. I noticed this morning, as I was reading Corinthians, Paul referenced the law about 3 different times. And he was using the law as an authority. He said, the law says this, the law says that, the law. So he was using the law as authority. The thing is, no man or woman will be justified before God by obeying the law. Do you know that? And I want to talk about that a little bit, and I want to help you to grow in faith. I was thinking this week, Lord, I know people struggle and they're frustrated and they don't know how to make this connection, and I understand it. I am a person that wants to please God. Are you? But when we become a Christian, there's a whole new way of thinking and a whole new way of living and a whole new, you know, we cannot accept Christ by grace through faith and then put ourselves back under the law and think, well, we begin by faith and we begin by grace, and then we start trying to please God with everything we're doing. I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that, I'm going to do this, and this will please God. The way that we get into this life is the way that we walk in it. Let me read the scripture in Romans chapter 1, and let's just go from there. You ready? Yes. Ken's ready. Is anyone else ready? Yes. All right, come on. I'm going to help you. At the end, I really want to help you in your day-to-day life walk with Jesus. Every day when I walk with Jesus, you know, I say when I leave the house, but when I'm at the house, but when I leave the house in particular, and Pammy's my witness here, when I go with Jesus, I believe that God is with me. I really do. This isn't hypocrisy. I'm not making it up. When I leave the house, I believe God's with me. And I believe He's going to guide me. And I believe, you know, I get in situations. I had a guy call me yesterday, and he's homeless. He's in a hotel, and it's $2,000 a month, and this stuff comes at. What do you do when those things come at you? Was with the guy Wednesday, and this guy Wednesday, he was going to live outside. He didn't have a sleeping bag, didn't have a tent, and like this stuff comes at you, and you're trying to, you know, you think, if you just think, what would Jesus do? You could think, well, He would do this, and He would do that, and He would put him up in a hotel for 3 months. What? You might have many, many thoughts. You might bounce back and forth, but that's not going to help you. You don't need to know what Jesus would do. You need to connect to the Jesus inside of you. Amen. Let me say that again. You don't need to think, well, what would Jesus? You need to connect with Jesus inside of you and obey the Spirit of God in you. You need to ask God for wisdom in every situation. You don't need to operate in guilt. I should do this. I should do that. Right? Right? You don't need to walk. You need, we need to connect with Jesus. So when I go out the door in the morning, when I face things, I really believe that God's with me. Do you believe God is with you? The Bible says He is. Doesn't the Bible say He says, lo, I am always with you. Matthew 28. Hebrews 13 says, I will never fail you. I will never forsake you. He tells us He will always be with you. So when you get into situations, we cannot be like the world and just try to figure everything out in our mind. We need to have a connection with God, the Spirit of God in us, guiding us. I wouldn't have a penny to my name if I gave everybody money that asked me for money. How about you? But on the other hand, I love to help people and I love to give. But I need God's wisdom every day when I go out into this world. When I share Christ with people, you know, Mikey was talking about that couple he met. I met a guy that was a Norse guy. I don't know how to talk to that guy. Surely Jesus knows what to say to that person. Oh, everybody's a little bit different. So when I go, I don't have a cookie cutter thing that I say to people when I go out sharing Jesus. There may be one person I'm really gentle with, really tender, and the next person I'm more right to it when I talk to them. I have to trust God that lives inside of me. I have to walk by faith. Listen to this. Paul says, for I am not ashamed of the gospel, because it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who what? Believes. Now, I was really trying to emphasize that. And I got to be honest, I left a little frustrated last week. Felt like I did a poor job. I felt like there was so much that I left on the table. And I just feel like I need to communicate this better. He says, to everyone that believes, first to the Jew and also to the Greek, because in the gospel, get this, in the gospel, the righteousness of God is revealed. It's no longer concealed. It's not hidden anymore. God's righteousness is manifested. It is revealed in the gospel. Just as it is written, the righteous shall live by faith. So if we want to understand God's righteousness and how to operate in God's righteousness and how to please the Lord and how to walk in righteousness, we have to understand the gospel. I know some people teach that you can somehow obey God without Jesus. I have no idea how they believe that. And flip over to Romans 3. I have no idea how they believe that. You can't read the book of Romans and believe that. As much as we want to do good, as much as we may want to obey God's law and be good, the Bible says we're incapable of it. Because when Adam sinned, all men were born in Adam or came after Adam, and Adam passed the DNA of sin to all mankind. Is that right? It's 100% right. We are identified with Adam until you accept Christ. Otherwise, why would Jesus say, you must be born again? Not, well, if you're not righteous, you need to be born again. He said, you must be born again. That's everybody, all times, everywhere. You'll never see God unless you're born again. You're not going to be good enough. You're not going to do enough. You're not going to please God enough in your own strength and efforts because you were born into sin, Job said, as the sparks fly up. So having said that, let me just show you Paul's culmination of this thought, and I'm going somewhere. In Romans 3, I could really read the whole chapter, but he says, what then are we Jews, is what he's saying, any better than the Gentiles? He says, not at all. For we have already charged that both Jews and Gentiles are all under sin. Do you see it? Do you see it? You need to get this truth down into your heart. It's going to help you later as we proceed. Don't say, I know this. Let's know it better, okay? Anybody ever see the Scrooge, what is that, the Christmas Carol? The Ghost of Christmas, what is it, present, I think it is. Maybe it's past, I don't know. But he says, come in, man, and know me better. Anybody ever see that? Well, come in, let's look at this scripture and let's know it better. He says, there is none righteous, not even one. This is ground zero. This is ground zero for a Christian. Nobody in this room, apart from the saving work of Jesus, is righteous. You get it? If you don't know Jesus, if you're worshiping Buddha, Muhammad, Odin, self-help, money, I don't know what any idol, you cannot be righteous before God. Because all religions require you to be obedient to be saved, except for the glorious gospel. I'm talking about obedient to their laws and their rules. God, the Christian is obedient out of faith. I'm going to get there. There is no one who understands. There is no one who seeks God. All, not some people, all have turned away. All alike have become worthless. There is no one who does good. Pam, I'm sorry. Not even one. You can say, leave her alone, Brad. Thank you. You meant that. All have turned away. All alike have become worthless. There is no one who does what is good, not even one. Their throat is an open grave. They deceive with their tongues. Vipers, venomous, poison-like snakes is under their lips. Their mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood. Ruin and wretchedness are in their paths, and the path of peace they have not known. Now get this one. I've been preaching a little bit on this. This is really something. There is no fear of God before their eyes. That's a bad thing. See, you flip that. To have the fear of God, that's a good thing. Not to have it is a bad thing. When people don't know the Lord and they don't know righteousness by faith, they have no fear of God. How many believe in eternal separation from God? We call it hell. How many believe in that? And you know, people right now, no matter how famous they are, no matter who they are, no matter how good they think they are, no matter what religion they're following, people right now are carelessly walking into an eternity away from God, and they have no fear of God in their eyes. They'll say anything and they'll do anything seemingly without any conscience toward it, any fear of God in their eyes. That really is frightening to think that someone could have no fear of God and just live their life. If God doesn't intervene, if someone doesn't share the gospel, if someone doesn't pray, if someone doesn't preach the gospel, Romans chapter 10, that person is on a one-way collision course to answer a holy God for their unholy life. That's terrifying. Paul said, if the righteous are scarcely saved, what about the ungodly? For we know that whatever the law says, it speaks to those who are subject to the law, so that every mouth may be shut and the whole world may become subject to God's judgment. So no one will be justified in God's sight by the works of the law, because by the law only comes the knowledge of sin. The law can show us what we're doing wrong, but it can never save us from our wrongdoing. Now, I don't want to go into, because if I go too far afield, you know, and I'll start opening up a lot of other scriptures, I can't do that. But here's what I want to show you. No one is going to be put right with God by works or by obeying the law. In fact, I preached this, I thought it was one of my best messages ever. I mean it, because the revelation in it, to me, was so powerful. I didn't hear any feedback on it, but I got it. Paul starts the gospel with grace through faith, and he culminates in chapter 11, before he starts talking about Christian living, he stops right at the end of chapter 11, and he says, God says that everyone is guilty. The Jews, they're separated from God. Gentiles, they're separated from God. And the reason he did it, this is the culmination of his argument. The reason he did things the way he did is so he could have mercy on everyone. And there's your God right there. He desires to have mercy. It's his desire to have mercy on every single person. If you will study, and when we get back in and study healing more in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, you will notice most people, or many people, when they came to Jesus, the ones that got healed, right? They came to Jesus and they would say, Lord Jesus, have mercy on me. And every single time he had mercy. You know, right before in the gospel where the rich young ruler, he came to Jesus, he didn't come to Jesus asking for mercy, did he? He came to Jesus and he said, Lord, what good thing do I need to do to receive eternal life? And of course, Jesus, being Jewish, a Jewish teacher, said, well, obey the law. What does the law say? He said, well, I've done it. Well, first of all, you know he's lying, because no one has obeyed the law. That's the first thing. All have sinned. So he tells Jesus he obeyed it. Maybe to the best of his ability he did. I don't know. But Jesus had compassion on him. He says, okay, if you want to be perfect, this is the whole purpose of the law. He says, if you want to be perfect, if doing the law is not enough, then sell everything you have and give to the poor and follow me. You'll have eternal life. And the guy went away sorrowful because he had a lot of money. And he wasn't going to do it. If that same man, and tradition has it that he did come back and get saved, by the way, tradition has it that that was Barnabas who got saved and sold everything he had and followed Jesus. That's what church tradition says. But if that same man, if you look in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, had approached Jesus and said, Lord Jesus, have mercy on me, would he have gotten it? Yes, he would have gotten mercy, but that's not what he asked. He said, what do I got to do? And Jesus told him what he had to do. What's funny, even afterwards, the apostles who had left everything, they left everything, and they followed Jesus, and Jesus told them they would be rewarded, and you will be rewarded, the way that they followed Jesus, because he called them, and they answered that call by faith. That's how they got saved. That's how they left everything. Jesus called them, and his call, there's grace. If Jesus is calling you, he's giving you the grace to obey. Someone say amen. If Jesus is calling you, he is giving you the grace to obey. The grace is in the command. Hey, Lord, I want to walk on the water. Jesus said, come. The ability, the grace to obey was in the word of Jesus to come. Amen? And they came. But isn't it interesting? They all fled and betrayed Jesus. They all denied Jesus when the chips hit the fan. In fact, when Jesus rose from the dead, Peter was so guilty, he didn't even want to be around the Lord. He went fishing. He went back to his old lifestyle, didn't he? He went back to fishing. What did Peter need? He needed mercy and the Holy Spirit. He needed mercy. He needed God's forgiveness. He needed the power of the Holy Spirit too, obviously. So why am I saying this? I just want to lay this foundation. We all come the same way. But now that we got in the door, so we get in this door, and I can't go into it all. Maybe as the weeks go by when I revisit Romans, maybe I can get into this more. But every single person that's saved gets saved by grace through faith. But here's the thing. Not only does God credit you with righteousness, he puts righteousness to your account. The Word of God says he makes you righteous. Now, how does he do? I'm going to ask. You can answer if you know. How does the Lord make you righteous? Yeah, it is through faith. But when do you become righteous? You're right. It's through faith. When do you become righteous? When you get saved, when you're born again, the Spirit of God comes to live inside of you. That's why theologians, I've heard some theologians say that, well, you're credited righteousness. They put it to your account, but you're transformed into being righteous. And there's a certain truth to that, a certain truth as far as outer conduct goes. But no, when you are saved and you are born again, righteousness comes to live inside of you. How is that? Jesus comes to live inside of you. That's what I was trying to say last week. You're born again. Christ now lives in you. You have been made right with God through faith in Jesus, and his Spirit is in you. And now you can literally walk in the Spirit of God and walk in righteousness. How? By faith. By faith. We can walk after the Spirit. And I want to teach you today, when I end this message today, I want to teach you and help you to learn to walk by faith, what it looks like. Paul said, the just shall live by faith. You don't just get saved by faith. Some of you don't know what you should do with your life. Some of you don't know how to live day by day. You don't know. You run into situations and you run into problems. Some of you have bad relationships in your life and you don't know what to do about it. Some of you are depressed and you don't know what to do about it. You got all these issues and all these things in your life. Recently, I had someone say, hey, Brad, what do I do? I feel like I'm a failure. Everything in my life is falling apart. I said, believe the gospel. That's what you have to believe, the gospel. If you start any other place, you're going to fail. If you start looking at what you have done and have not done, you're going to feel guilty. How many here has done enough, you think, for God? You can just set it all down. I've done enough. I rest my case. I'm ready to stand before the Lord. I've done enough. There's nobody. I've never met anybody. Maybe I'm wrong. I've never met anybody that feels like they've done enough. Okay, let me say it this way. Who believes that they could do more? That's a little better way of saying it. Of course, we could all do more. I could do more. Even on my best day, I could do more. If I share Christ with four people, there's one guy I didn't share him with, right? If I help one poor person, there's two. We could always do more, but we're never going to have peace with God if we don't accept the fact that our righteousness with God comes by faith. Ground zero. And it's God's mercy and grace in our life. And now we live a life of gratitude, a life of thanksgiving, and a life of obedience by that same faith. Paul says in Romans 6, are you guys listening? It's going to help you when we're done. I really mean it. If you want to learn the nuts and bolts of how to live by faith, how to follow Jesus, I got a bad husband. Live by faith. I'm in a bad job. Learn to live by faith. I'm in a situation I can't get out of. Live by faith. I got financial bills. I don't know what to do. I'm in over my head. Live by faith. God has an answer for every situation, for every human person in this world. When you were born, God had a plan for your life. He knows where you're at. He knows who you are. He knows your name. He has a bullseye on you marked for blessing. What God wants from you is He wants you to trust Him. And this faith that He wants from you operates by your love. It is completely relational. It's completely relational. You are knocked out of a law relationship with God, and now you're in a love relationship with God. You're not a law dog anymore. You're actually married to Jesus. He is in your spirit. He is in your heart. You're fellowshipping with Him, and He has an awesome plan for you, and the way we walk in it is by faith. In Romans 6 says, Paul says, what should we say then? 6:1, should we continue to sin that grace just keeps on abounding? He says, no, you're not getting, I got to slow down here a little bit. I know most of you think you know this. He says, no, you're not getting what I'm teaching you. In fact, one person said about Paul is saying, since God forgives all your sin and that brings glory to God, just you should sin more. So God will get more glory. That's what one person accused Paul of saying. And Paul said, no, their condemnation is justified. That's not what I'm saying. And that's not what I'm saying either. What shall we say? Should we just keep on sinning? Keep on living in defeat? Keep on living depressed, defeated lives? He says, no. He says, absolutely not. How can you that died to sin live any longer in it? It's a whole different perspective. It's something you have to renew your mind to. It's a whole different perspective about your relationship with God. It's a whole different way of relating to God. Hey, I am not who I was. I'm born again. I'm the righteousness of God. I'm loved by God. I love God, and I'm in this pursuit of God, and I may be, that's why I'm very merciful and generous to people that are stumbling. I'm very merciful because I know if their heart is right toward God, and they really love God, and they believe in God, if they keep pursuing God, they will get where God wants them to go. If they back into lukewarmness and frustration, they won't get where God wants them to go. Paul's position is that, Leanna, when you were baptized into Christ, your water baptism is a picture of what happens spiritually. When you're baptized into Christ, the old Leanna passes away, and there's a brand new Leanna that's born when you accept Jesus. There's a new person on the inside of you, and who is that person? That person is dead to sin and alive to God. Is anybody getting this? Are you really getting this? Righteousness lives inside of you. Holiness lives inside of you. How do I realize it? How do I walk in the power of it? How do I believing in it? It's that simple, believing in it. Faith plus no works, boom, obedience. When you really put your faith in this, Paul says in verse 4, we were buried with Him by baptism in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead, by the glory of the Father, so we too may walk in newness of life. Leanna, the old you, buried, dead. You raise up, death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. We raise up, and now we're a new person. And by faith, we walk in newness of life. By faith, we walk in newness of life. I'm going to read one more verse here, then I got to skip forward. In verse 14, Paul makes this beautiful statement, for sin will not have dominion over you. Sin will not rule over you. Why? Why won't sin rule over you? Because you're not under law. The law of sin and death is you're dead to God, law comes in, sin revives, and you die. The law of grace and faith is Jesus died for me, he was buried, and he rose from the dead, and I'm confessing Jesus as my Lord, and I believe that God raised him from the dead, and Jesus is now my Lord. I'm born again, I'm made righteous, and now I can walk in that righteousness. I can walk in grace. Anybody walking in grace today? Amen? I hope so. You know by the fruit in your life. If you're walking in God's grace, if you're in this covenantal love relationship with Jesus, you will bear fruit to God. That's what Romans 7 says. You will bear fruit to God. If you're walking any other way, you will not bear fruit to God, because there's no other way than walking by faith. And this is what the Lord showed me even this week more powerfully. In 1 John 5, I think it's verse 12, it's in 1 John 5, we actually, get this, this is kind of where the rubber hits the road. We actually live through Jesus. We actually live through Jesus. By the Holy Spirit, God has imparted Jesus to us. Every situation that you encounter in life, Jesus is with you. You can face that situation with Jesus if you will believe. Many of us, when we have trials, and I've heard it over and over again, till it just, oh God, help me, Lord, help me. They say, why? I hear this a lot. Why is God doing this to me? I'm like, oh, sweetie, God's not doing this to you. There's one, I can't get there. Lord, if I go there, I'll get detoured. God is not doing this to you. It's like the children of Israel walking in the wilderness. You are always going to have trials. You are always going to have obstacles. You're always going to have things thrown at you. But God has promised he's with you. God has promised that Jesus is with you. God has promised if you believe, you will overcome. That's why 1 John says it is faith that overcomes the world. So when you have trials and Jesus prepared, when you have trials and obstacles in your way, the only way to reach it, the only way to overcome it is by faith. Because faith that overcomes the world. You're going to have things attack you. You're going to have things come against you. Your whole world can be turned upside down. And Jesus is in your jersey. And he's with you. When Paul was in the Philippian jail, he said, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice, didn't he? Jesus was with him. He didn't quit trusting and believing in Jesus and say, oh, Jesus, why am I in jail? I was trying to do my best. I was preaching the gospel. I was sharing Jesus. I was loving people. Lord, I just gave away my last $100 to a poor person. Why am I in jail? He sang praises to God and believed God, and there was an earthquake that rocked him out of jail. Amen? When Peter was beaten and the early disciples were beaten, they came back, they were shouting praises to God that they were worthy to suffer shame. They didn't say, God, why did you let this happen to me? You don't love me anymore. Why did this trial come into my life? Lord, you don't love me. Just the opposite. You are going to have trials, and there are going to be negative stuff thrown at you in life. And in the midst of it all, Jesus wants to live his life in you in the midst of every adversity. When you believe him, when you believe him. This was my error for many, many years. And my wife left me, and I had two kids. I had all these things happening to me, and I couldn't grow an inch in the Lord. Every time I started to grow, I got knocked down again and again and again. And I would always say, even though I was hearing faith preaching, that's why I know some of you hear this stuff, but you don't believe it yet. Even when I was hearing faith preaching, I'd always say, God, why are you doing this? Why are you letting this happen? It wasn't until I got up and started fighting back and saying, no, I'm not taking this anymore. I am going to live in joy no matter what happens in my life. Do you know Jesus Everybody that he knew, I was studying it this week, and Paul had the same experience. I could take you there. Every person that Jesus knew, maybe John, the Apostle John, was different. They all left him, betrayed him. We know they crucified him. They mocked him. There was a point in Jesus' life where he had zero success. Didn't have a single follower. The religious system of the day, CNN had it on the news, blasphemer crucified, details at 11, right? CBN and TBN had it on there, false prophet crucified. Every religious person, there was no one to come to his aid. His very followers were afraid and they split. He was betrayed, he was forsaken, and he was completely abandoned. Didn't succeed, did he? Or did he? Paul, he did succeed. Paul, at one point, said, everyone has left me. Everybody's forsaken me. This person went here, this person went here, that person, I'm all by myself. Hey, Demas forsook me. He loved the present world. Would someone send me my parchments and my cape? It's getting cold here. Would someone? And yet he said, but the Lord never forsook me. The Lord stood with me. God's with me. He didn't, here's my point. He didn't blame it on God. He didn't say, God. Now Jesus said, Lord, why are you forsaking me? That's because he was made your sin. That's why Jesus said, God, why have you forsaken me? That's because he was made your sin. Paul says that the Jewish people were broken off from the Messiah, from God, because they did not believe him. They rejected him because they did not believe him. The Word of God teaches us that the just shall live by faith. God wants us to approach every situation in life like the gospel is true. Are you with me? If you're with me, raise your hand. I got one more. I want you to flip over to Romans 12. Now, I want to teach you how to grow in this. Every situation in life. Now, you say, well, Brother Brad, what if I've sinned? Well, how many Christians here enjoy sinning? Put that hand down. No, I'm just kidding. No, put that down. No, honestly, how many Christians here enjoy sinning? None. Christians don't enjoy sin. That's how you know you're a Christian. If you sin, you feel horrible. You know you do. You feel horrible when you sin. I don't know a Christian that really, you're dead to sin. You won't enjoy it. No, if you sin, you just go to the Lord and get it under the blood. All your sins, past, present, and future, have been forgiven. When you sin, you may break fellowship with God because you got a guilty conscience, and well, you should. You go to God, and you get it under the blood, and you pick up and go again. The Bible says if you sin seven times, 70 times seven, you're going to be forgiven. You go to God. And I'm going to get there a little bit more in deeper in a second. If you sinned against a person, you go to them, don't you? Get it right. Just go make it right. There's no reason for you to have broken fellowship. Okay, flip over to Romans chapter 8. If you sin, get it under the blood and just move on. Or Romans, what'd I say? I meant 12. Weren't we in chapter 4? 4 plus 8 equals, there you go, right there. There you go, 12. Now I want to talk about walking this thing out, guys. Now, how can I walk this out in my day-to-day life, okay? I want to show you practical points, because I'm always getting out there in theology, because I love theology, I love the gospel, I love to study it, I love reading it, and honestly, truthfully, I read this stuff so much, I know I probably think different than most of you, because I'm in this stuff all the time. My mind goes everywhere in the Word when I think of this stuff. It all connects. I know Romans connects to Galatians. I know it connects to Hebrews. I know it connects back to Deuteronomy. It's all connected, so it's easy for me to race ahead. So I want to make it very simple and very practical. Romans 12 says, therefore, in view of God's what? Mercy. In chapter 11, he culminates, which I talked about earlier, we all need God's mercy, every single person, don't you? And that's how Paul left it off, God's mercy. Everybody's in unbelief. Everybody's cut off from God. God's going to have mercy on everybody, anybody that'll put their trust in Jesus. So he says, therefore, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, I urge you, present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God, which is your true worship. Do not be conformed to this age, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you may discern what is the good, pleasing, and perfect will of God. For by the grace given to me, I tell every one of you, do not think more highly of yourself than you should. Why? Because we're all reduced to ground zero. Don't think more highly. You're not better than anybody. You may live better in some ways, but you're not better. God has relegated everybody in disobedience so he could have mercy on even you. You're all disobedient. You've all sinned. I'm having mercy on you all. Okay? So don't think more highly of yourself than you ought to. Think soberly as God has distributed to each one of you, what? A measure of faith. So every Christian in this room has faith. You have a measure of faith. We have many parts in the body, and all the parts don't have the same function. In the same way, we who are many are one body in Christ and individual members of one another. So according to the grace given us, whatever gifts we have, if we prophesy, do it according to the proportion of what? Faith. If you serve, then serving, teaching, teaching, exhorting, exhorting, leading, leading, showing mercy, etc. Okay? So Paul was telling us, every single person that's born again, that's given their life to God, you have faith right now. God says, use your faith. Use it to serve. Use it to give. Use it to obey. Start everywhere you go. The just shall live by faith. When you go to work tomorrow, when you go to school tomorrow, when you face a problem, believe the gospel that Jesus Christ is in you. Lord, I'm afraid. I'm with you. Lord, I think I'm going to sink. I'm going to bail you out. God, nobody loves you. I love you. Believe the gospel. Lord, I'm being tempted. There's no temptation, but what is common to man, I'm going to give you a way of escape. Do you want it? Do you want the escape? I'm going to give it to you. Believe the gospel. I'm with you. Live your life through faith. Don't start pulling back on your own resources. Paul said, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Okay. Then he pops into a series of exhortations. This is where I'm going to end today. In a series of exhortations about how to live this life. And this is what I want to talk about daily, how we exercise our faith and live the Christian life. Do you want to know? I want to grow in this thing. If the just shall live by faith, and I want to learn how to live by faith. So then Paul lists a bunch of characteristics that Christians live by. These are things that we can do by faith. Because you have the measure of faith, because God's grace is in you, because Jesus lives in you, because you are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus, now we are candidates to live like Christians. He says, let your love be without hypocrisy. Don't be a hypocrite. You, tomorrow, do not have to be a hypocrite. Isn't that good news? Who's tired of being a hypocrite? Being a hypocrite means you're wearing a mask. You come to church, you act one way. You leave church, you act another. Don't raise your hand. He says, cling to what's good. You can cling to what's good by faith. You can do it. You can cling to what's good. Get this. Take the lead in honoring what you want to grow in Christ. Here's a biggie. Take the lead in honoring one another. You want to grow in Jesus? I don't like to honor people. You're a new creation. Start doing it by faith. Start honoring other people. In one place, Paul said, consider other people better than you are. That is so opposite of how we live in this world. You know it. People think they're better. Paul said, don't think that way. You're a new creation. You've been given mercy. You've been reduced to ground zero, or you're a recipient of God's mercy. You can't condemn anybody. We know right from wrong. When someone does wrong, I know it, but I'm not their condemner. That's up to God. I don't condemn anybody. I know right from wrong, but I've received mercy. I've been reduced to ground zero. So I'm going to honor people. He says, be fervent in spirit. He says, rejoice in hope. Be patient when you have your trials. When that affliction comes, when you say, oh God, why are you doing this to me? Right? He said, no, don't do that. Rather than do that, be patient in your affliction. Turn your head up to God and says, God, I don't know why this is happening. I don't know why this is going on in my life, but I'm being patient. I know that you're going to deliver me. I am putting my trust in you. Everything seems to be falling apart, but I know that you're with me, and I'm going to come through this. I am going to be patient in my affliction. And when you do that, you'll be living by faith. Woo! That excites me. You'll be living by faith when you do that. Isn't that exciting? So rather than saying, God, why are you letting this happen to me? That's unbelief. That's desert talk. That's stepchildren talk. That's a child that doesn't know their love talk. Amen? The Christian says, God, Father, I don't know why this is happening, but something good is going to happen to me. I know something good is going to happen if the devil's doing this to me. If people are attacking me, you surely got a blessing on the other end of this. Something good's surely going to happen to me. I just walked up on the Red Sea, and I don't see any way across the Red Sea. There's no way for me. So, God, there's nothing I can do but look up. I am going to stand here on my watch and see what you are going to answer me, because the just shall live by faith. Lord, you parted it for the children of Israel. They were dead spiritually. I'm your child. I'm blood washed. I'm filled with the Holy Ghost. I can't wait to see how you're going to part this Red Sea for me, Lord. Amen. Amen. Share with the saints in need. You want to operate in faith? Start sharing with people. Amen? Amen? Don't be greedy. Quit being greedy. Pursue hospitality. Here's a big one. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. But Brother Brad, you don't know what they did to me. Brother Brad, I have an idea what they did to you. I got scars on my back. I've been there. I know what it feels like. He says, bless them. The Lord told me, Brad, don't only bless them. Mean it when you do it. Mean it. I said, okay, Lord, I'll mean it. I'll mean it, Jesus. I can't. Yes, you can do it. Your excuses are gone. You're born again. You're a new creation. You belong to God. Your sins are forgiven. You've been saved by the gospel. You have hope. You have the Holy Spirit in you. You can bless those that persecute you, and God is going to bless you for it. If you live by faith. You can't work your way into this. You believe your way into it. Well, Brother Brand, I tried and I just couldn't do it. Quit trying. Start believing. You guys like that. I'll do it again. Brother Brand, I tried that giving thing and I lost everything. Who were you giving to? Odin and Thor? This is a big one. Rejoice with those that rejoice. Weep with those that weep. Where is this at in the church? We like to stab our wounded. We like it when, not you guys, I mean that. You said don't say it, but maybe some of you, but most of you know. A lot of people, how do you know? Because I know what's on YouTube. We love to stab our wounded. Someone's down, kick them. Kick them. Someone fails, oh, I knew they didn't know Jesus. We love to kick them, stab them. It says, cry with people that cry. And by the way, quit listening to junk on YouTube when they slander Christians. I see stuff on there and I'm like, I am not letting CNN form my opinion of any person, any Christian. Benny Hinn, Ken Copeland, I don't know much about them. I listened to Benny a little bit. But I am not letting CNN tell me what to believe about him. I'll tell you that right now. Come on. And you shouldn't either. They're not going to say anything good, are they? No. They're not going to. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Weep with those who weep. Live in harmony with one another. Don't be proud. Why? Ground zero, this is why you cannot be proud unless you think you're self-righteous. Unless you think you're righteous before God. If you are on your own, then be proud. That's fine. But if you're not, if you need mercy, ground zero is God's mercy. So you can't be proud. You're a recipient of mercy just like me. I want to revel in it. I want to roar around like a dog in high weeds in God's mercy. Say, Lord, give me more mercy. I don't mean that so I can keep sinning. I mean so I can live the Jesus life. Lord, I want to rub around. I know, Lord, without you, I can't do anything. I know I can do all things through Christ. I know when I live my life separate from you and not walking in faith, not walking in spirit, I just complain. I get empty. I get dry. I get judgmental. Lord, I'm coming back to the tall weeds, the tall grass of mercy, and I'm going to roll around in it. I want your mercy. And so because I want your mercy, blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain. So I'm going to just dole out mercy. I'm holding my brothers accountable. Don't be worried. I know. I hold my brothers accountable, but I am doling out mercy because I want to be treated mercifully. Don't be proud. Instead, associate with humble people. Don't be wise in your own estimation. Don't think you're so smart because you're not. If I was so smart, I would have bought Bitcoin back in 2011 when I first heard about it. I wouldn't even be here right now. I'd be in the Bahamas. Amen. I'd be a pastor in the Bahamas. Listen to this. Don't repay anyone evil for evil. How do you do it? By faith. By faith. Believing in a God who will reward you when you do good to people that treat you wrong. Believe in that God. The God that's a rewarder. The Bible says God rewards faith in Hebrews chapter 11. When you live like that, you're living by faith. Because you're believing that God's going to justify you. God's going to vindicate you. God's got your back. So I am not going to repay evil for evil. Give careful thought to everything that's honorable in everyone's eyes. As far as depends on you, live at peace with everyone. Friends, don't avenge yourself. Leave room for God's justice. Leave room for God's wrath, because it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. When it's all said and done, God's going to have his way. But if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he's thirsty, give him something to drink. For in so doing, you will be heaping coals of fire on their head. Do not be conquered by evil, but conquer evil with good. And how do you do that? By faith. And love them, yeah. By faith. You trust God. You're not looking for your answer from men. You're not looking for your vindication from people. You are looking for God to vindicate you. You're looking for God's backing, and if God don't back you, you don't need to be backed anyway. Amen? Amen? Guys, that is living by faith. And you can approach every situation in life, and you can live by the Word of God and live by faith, and you will walk in victory. You'll walk in victory. And there's not a situation in your life that you encounter, that you run into, that there's not a scripture or some conduct that God calls you to, that you can't live this victorious life. Jesus said that he would live this life in you. But do you want it? Yep. Pam does. Oh, Brandy does. Sorry, Pam. I'm sorry. Pam doesn't. It's walking by faith. Paul walked by faith. Jesus walked by faith. Timothy walked by faith. Samson walked by faith when he wasn't sinning. They walked by faith. You were born to overcome. The way we overcome evil, folks, is by doing what's good. Don't let anything, the Lord has been teaching me this so much, says, Brad, don't let anything but me in your heart. Don't let anything but my spirit and my word in your mind and in your heart. I'm not perfect at it. I haven't arrived yet at it. But he says, don't let anything in there but me. Let me in there. Don't put anything else in there. And it's hard because he's reminding me, we are in a spiritual war, folks. You're in a spiritual battle. These people that have fallen, these Christians that have fallen, they were in a spiritual battle. And you're in a spiritual battle. But Jesus is with you. You've got the Word of God. You've got the mighty Holy Spirit. All right, the Lord wants me to do this, so I'm going to do this. Every eye closed, every head bowed. Then we're going to end. You say, Brother Brad, I want to do that, but I don't even...